Regular show with Peaches and DJ Mota.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roos Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show. Oh, demand. You know, I need to put the thunder and lightning back in there. I don't do that anymore. The first episode with Killa.
Just one?
Yeah, only one time I had the thunder and lightning. I really need to bring that back, though. Yeah. I really enjoyed the thunder and lightning. How you doing today, Peaches? You're back. How you doing?
She in a donut.
I'm eating a donut.
Because it's 8 o'clock in the morning on this hashtag fake Monday morning.
Yes.
Hashtag BG show. We're here with another edition of the show, episode 23, the 98th overall episode of the Brad Gilmore Show. We're closing in on episode 100. We're working on getting a great guest for everybody for y'all to listen to for episode 100.
No, you told me you had that in the bag already.
Like I said,
see how Brad be lying to me.
I'm working on one. All right. Anyway, we have a great show for you today. We have Saman Ashrawi on the show today, and trust me, I have spent forever trying to pronounce his last name correctly, and I hope I just did it. Yes, I did do it. All right, he's a guy, a real interesting guy, interviewer, filmmaker, and we talk a little bit about his interview style, some of the films he's made. He made an all-star tribute to UGK, but I want y'all to hear that on the actual interview. But a couple other things I want to talk about today. But do y'all have anything y'all want to talk about first on this intro? Motai Peaches?
I am going to be relaunching my site next month.
TataLaPeaches.com?
Yes. And I'm going to be... we took the Ask Peaches down off of Day in a Dream right now for...
on hiatus?
It's on a hiatus. But I've come up with a plan, and I'm excited about it. So when I relaunch my site, all the stuff is going to be coming out. Well, Dana Dream is still going to keep the Ask Peaches like in that form, but I'm excited. I've come up with some plans, and I'm working on a book club.
Uh-oh, Peaches book club?
I know. I'm excited about that.
That sounds fun. Can we read this? Oh, I'll tell you about it later.
But yeah, and then make sure you come to Debonair Lounge tonight.
Oh, yeah, Debonair Lounge will be this Monday. I'll be there.
Of course, obviously, Brad will hosting. Be there.
What's up, Motai? What do you got cooking?
Well,
Motai brought out his calendar.
Yeah, I brought my calendar. On the 24th at Fitzgerald's, me and Brad.
Oh, we 2011. We are opening
me and
for
Brad's band.
We're opening up for the Far Side, which should be very fun. Shout out to Hector from Lunaface for that.
Yeah, if you guys want tickets, just hit either of us up.
Yeah, you can get us on Twitter at 2011 at Brad Gilmore at DJ Motai.
Yeah. And then on the 26th, I'll be at Avani Lounge. I have an hour gig. I think around 4:30.
Uh-huh.
It's a day party, pretty much, you know.
Where?
Avani Lounge.
Is that a Saturday?
That is a Saturday.
I might come there that day.
Yeah. And,
you know, the bartender.
Yeah.
Guests are free from 2 to 3. After that, it'll be $10. It'll be drinks, drinking games, contests, giveaways, and...
Contests and giveaways and a lot more, man. So when is that again? That's the 28th?
Did you just pick up and stop?
That's the 28th?
26th. Saturday.
At the Avani Lounge. I had a good week this week, last week, Peaches. Last Monday, my face, my likeness graced the cover of a magazine, Houston Trend. You can read the article on HoustonTrend.com. Talk about the Brad Gilmore Show. Talk about 2011. Talk
Congratulations
about
on that, by the
wrestling.
Way.
Thank you, Peaches.
I'm proud of you. This is the only time I'm ever going to tell you that to your face.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And also, I haven't seen it yet. Well, by the time y'all are listening to this, I've seen it. But Debonair Lounge also got like a nice little feature on CW.
Do I get to 39. Pat myself on the back for that too?
Newsfix, if you would like to pat yourself on the back, I don't. Yeah, sure. Go ahead, pat away. I don't know. But
such an ass.
I just want to appreciate everybody who's been supporting me and the Brad Gilmore Show, Peaches and DJ Motai. Make sure y'all rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Click the subscribe button. Give us a little review. Give us 5 stars because it helps the algorithm out, all right? Don't ask me to spell it. And then also, you know,
I'm going to ask you to stop saying it.
Go over to bradgilmore.podbean.com if you don't want to listen on iTunes. And also, you can always hear the shows the very next day on dayinadream.com if you want to catch
up. Is that what you decided?
If you want to catch up on the vlogs.
No, don't be. Don't put your hand up at me.
But right now, we're going to get into our interview with Samantha Mann.
No.
On the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand. DJ Motai, play us our Monday morning music mix. Peace.
This is how it is, this is how it goes. Every other night when she gone, hit the pole. Get up out of clothes, soon as she get exposed. They tell her drop it low, then you already know. They gon' tell that girl a that's what they tell her. Man, and she gon' do it in the day and shake her booty at night. The way she living is wrong, but the money is right. And so she gon' this is how it goes. Every other night when she gon' hit the pole. Get up out of clothes, soon as she get exposed. They tell her drop it low, then you already know. They gon' tell that girl up. That's what they tell her. Man, and she gon' do it. Fine woman, shaking in the club. Uh-huh. Every night they call the name, she get the most love. 20 years old, yeah, she a true pro. The money is a prize in this grown talent show. Charging for a lap dance on a case by case basis. Black or white, it don't matter cause she ain't racist. Dancing in them trick spaces, man, that's how she get paid. She do it so well, they think they getting laid. Don't stop, get it, pop it for a meal ticket. Falling from the pole, man, for sure. Landing gone, stick it. Billy Trey or Pedro, euros, bills, and pesos. She ain't in the kitchen, but she getting all the cake, though. Hey ho, no, don't call her out her name. Steady winning, this her life. She don't play this ain't the game. She's a boss, far from a clerk. And when she hit that stage, you know she gon' work.
This is how it is, this is how it goes. Every other night when she gon' hit the pole. Get up out of clothes, soon as she get exposed. They tell her drop it low, then you already know. They gon' tell that girl
no. Fine, babe, like a straight out of the old way. Don't ask, cause I don't know what it's dope is. Yeah, I'm lying, but just know that it's roasting. And I'm posted, I just smoke.
Where's the dope at? It's everywhere I be, bruh. I love Mary Jane, hope she ready for the pita. I can only speak for myself, but I burn plenty reefer. And smoke on a track, make good sense, cause I'm a leader. Surfing perfect on this perk, mixed up with sour diesel. With sour killing time with all these rhymes, I be highly illegal. Get it? Highly illegal. I take time on the easel. Green crack, I be spitting with PG people. Have to be from the jet to get that. About to take it back to dudes because that is my shack. EP put me on, no, surf's up to your bro. And I can't say no more because my shorty bout to roll.
I'm just smoking Bombay like it's straight out of Oakland. Don't ask cause I don't know what a dope is. Yeah, I'm lying, but just know that it's roasting. And I'm posted, I'm just smoking Bombay like it's straight out of Oakland. Don't ask cause I don't know what a dope is. Yeah, I'm lying, but just know that it's roasting. And I'm posted, I'm just smoking.
How you doing? I'm doing high too. Somewhere up there, flying right by you. By a stealth bomber fleet, just defines my crew. My got the chunk the deuces like bye-bye crew. Underground, I still need to chief up. I'm out to get this currency, a whiz like Khalifa. How fly is this guy with his jersey above the bleachers? Now I just smoke and you gotta pay for this feature. I'm a stone cold artist, I could spit the Mona Lisa. I be writing scriptures, I could 316 ya. The number one stunner, twisting up some marijuana. Just wanna try all the strands, making bands, that's 300.
I'm just smoking Bombay like it's straight out of Oakland. Don't ask cause I don't know what a dope is. Yeah, I'm blind, but just know that it's roasted. And I'm posted, I'm just smoking Bombay like it's straight out of Oakland. Don't ask cause I don't know what a dope is. Yeah, I'm blind, but just know that it's roasted. And I'm posted, I'm just smoking
Bombay like it's straight out of Oakland.
Shit, but I stay with it. Fuck around and get this news bag. Don't move, don't play with it. with them. Better watch what you say to them before it click. Got let loose, start a fire and a rage in them. And you don't wanna see that, you don't wanna be around when they let out the lion in the cage in them. Look in his eyes and the fire, what you see is better that. But you know a nigga keep it on the stage with them. And it stay with them. If I say get them, it'll go get them. Everybody in the way hit them. I got them, fuck around and hide them. Put a rap beside them, ride them. I got them, fuck around and knock a nigga noggin off. But I keep it contained, gotta do my thing. Gotta yell my name till they get that. Double motherfucking be him back. Hashtag motherfuck that, nigga don't fix that. Back in the gap, they used to crack dope. Now I'm dope, get it fixed, motherfucker, take a sit back. If you don't dig that, get another dose. Him crack, kill a nigga, look at these spits, so dig that. Me now, don't play with him. Me now, don't play with him. Me now, don't play with him. With no action, he thinking he cool, he just capping. Catch a cap in the back of the snap back. Infantile jacket, tongue wrestling, nose handling, no scrapping. Just a young nigga act with no pappy. Shelter homes make a mad with no standards. All he know is get it how they live with no handles. Respect him and get handled, dismantle. Don't play with an animal. See him with that animosity. I get high as an apostrophe. I think they watching me, so I'm about to hit a block of three. I tell my nigga why time for me. Hold this, I'll be right back. Cold case, try fight back. New nigga try and bite back. Old nigga gotta slice that. Head on swole, gotta fight that. You know how that go. Take the back though. Nerves bad already. What the fuck you wanna act for? You know I pack a foe, foe. Any nigga wanna act slow, bo. Green light, all I know is go, go. Shit I'm sipping on, got me slow, mo. You can catch slug. No time for no heckler. She on the line, perpendicular. It's going down, ain't no getting up. Think you take a what? Foul. Call the coroner to pick him up. Yeah. Then I pour another force, I'm a dissing cup. I'm getting higher than a bitch, I'm staying lifted up. Big dog, shit, fuck you, pay me. Get money with my niggas, bruh. Me now, don't play with them. Me now, don't play with them. Me now, don't play with them. Me now, better watch out. Me now, don't play with them. Me now, don't play with them. Me now, don't play with them. Me now, better watch out. Better watch out. Better watch out. Better watch out. Better watch out.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand. On demand.
Dig it!
I just had a donut.
Yeah. Get Motai's in here. Now, Motai, we have to celebrate this week because we have someone back in our lives this week.
We have someone back in our lives?
Yes. She was ghost on us last week. Nowhere to be
found. Oh, we were peachless last week.
We were peachless.
He yelled at me the whole way over here about that, like the entire way.
And you know what's even worse? She didn't even listen to the show.
You know what her excuse is? She says, I can't listen to my voicemail because I don't know the number.
I have an entirely different phone. It's like, I didn't know how to get
for every phone. Okay, for every phone, you hold down the number one and it should call your voicemail.
Oh, but I had 20 voicemails.
Oh, well, shit.
Okay, so listen to them all. For people who don't know, we left the show intro for last week's show, Slim K, on Peaches' voicemail. But this isn't
apparently
about Peaches today.
It's still there somewhere.
It's not about Peaches today.
That's what they said. They he made me listen like 5 seconds of it earlier.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you listened to our show, Peaches. All right, anyway.
I've been trying to listen to it. Okay, first of all, I'm going to tell people what happened because I'm going to explain myself.
Can you explain on the intro?
No, I'm explaining it right now.
Well, we have a get. All right, go ahead.
Thank you. I had the iOS 7 beta version. It expired, so it deactivated my phone. But also, my screen was cracked.
Wait, are you a beta tester?
Get out of my business. Anyway.
You get paid for that, Peaches?
Did you get that
counting my money?
Peaches?
Illegal?
What happened?
Are you charging people for it? What does it matter?
Are you charging people? Okay.
It expired. It stopped working. That's the moral of that story. And then I had to call Sprint And then my screen was messed up, and then it was non-receptive in one area. I couldn't press allow or don't allow, so then I had to switch back into a BlackBerry.
It's because you had
Sprint. But I ain't back in an iPhone now. Get off my case.
All right, whatever. All right, so we have a good show for you today. Did you get that out of your system, Peaches? Can
yes.
we continue now?
Jerk.
We have a guest today who's normally actually on the other side of the interviewing world. He normally conducts them and is not really the subject of them. So I want to introduce our guest at this time. He is a knowledge seeker, according to his Twitter bio. He's also a University of Texas alumni. His name is Saman Ashrawi.
That's correct. Hello.
Look at that. Bow.
Were
got
you
it.
Nervous? Yeah, how right. nervous were you right then?
I wasn't nervous. I don't get nervous.
How many times did you say it in your head before you said it out loud?
The hardest part of the interview.
That was the hardest part. Yeah. How you doing today, man? You
I'm
good?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a little sleepy, but I'm good.
What did you do yesterday?
Well, yesterday was really uneventful, but I had to wake up early to go do some interviews.
Who'd you interview?
I was just over at Reliant Stadium interviewing some of the Houston Texans.
Which ones?
The important ones? Duh.
Hey, back up.
It's a little bit awkward because I've never done like locker room interviews before.
Oh, you were in the locker room?
See, I should have looked for locker room interviews.
Peaches, sit your thirsty ass down.
I want to be in the locker room.
I want to see a naked man. I like Arian Foster.
You would definitely
see. Let me see your jock
strap. Okay, I'm sorry. Is it bad that I like to look at naked men?
Do you like to look at naked men or naked women more?
Ooh. Ooh. That's a very hard question. I don't know.
No pun intended? Okay. anyway, okay, or so you were in the locker room?
Yeah, it was weird because I've interviewed J.J. Watt before, but it wasn't in a locker room setting. And so being there, the first thing you see when you walk in is just like bare naked Texan ass. And I'm
Hello,
sure Peaches
naked
likes
Texan ass. Wait.
But it definitely throws you off when you're trying to get
him while he was naked.
Well, no, but like when you're in the locker room, you know, the dudes are getting out of the ice bath or, you know, whatever
That's
thing
what
they're
sound.
Doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of the dudes have their shirts on, they're doing interviews, but then some of the dudes are just getting out of the shower or whatever. And it's like really, it definitely
bare
throws you off.
Bare naked Texan ass.
You know, maybe it wouldn't throw you off, but it definitely threw me off when I was going.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. Did you see Texans schlong too?
No, I did not. Thank goodness.
Okay, good.
But it's just weird because, you know, I don't know when that happened, but, you know, women reporters are allowed in the locker room these days. Oh. And so that's got to be
what does that mean?
It's got to be interesting because back in the day they used to
they
not
weren't,
let
right
they weren't. Exactly. And so I think that's got to be kind of interesting being a woman reporter being in there and the dynamic.
I couldn't even. I don't know.
I mean, it's one
Do
of those.
I don't really want to be in like in a WNBA locker room. So I don't really.
That
know
would
that.
Be interesting too.
I don't
yeah.
know. But
I mean,
yeah. How do you do that? Do you
of those
not look?
Things that'd be it would depend on your professionalism. If you know that you were going, like, if I was going in there for an interview, and if that was my, you know, my reasoning for being there, I would make sure that would get done before anything else. Like, you know, it's right. like I'm here for a reason. At the end of the day, that still has to be accomplished. So I guess for a woman, it would depend on her professionalism
right
as far as getting that done. But bare naked takes an ass. I'm always
so who, can you talk about who you interviewed? Who
I can talk about a couple of people I interviewed. You know, RIP to his leg, Daniel Manning.
Or
Brian Braman, which was cool. And what's his name? DJ Swearinger.
Okay, cool.
So we got a couple good ones. I don't want to let all the cats out of the bag, but we got, you know, we got some good ones.
We did the Veer.
Don't try to flex on them.
I'm not flexing. I just want to join the. I just want to join the league of people that have interviewed Texans.
You just want to know.
Step
you
want
to try to get your foot in the door of the Bear Texas ass or whatever.
Hey,
locker room.
If that works too, I'll get the interview done first. But hey, take a couple pictures. Me in the thing.
So
no, not selfies.
Hey, speaking of the Texans, though, how you feeling about this season so far? So, man,
it's let's just say I'm on the Vince Young team right now.
Are you?
I feel like he could be our savior. He really
you think
could.
So
you have no faith in Case?
I mean, I think Case is going to go out there and, you know, I mean, he played college ball, so he's been in big stadiums before, but it's definitely a big, I mean,
big transition.
Playing against the Chiefs for your first game.
Yeah.
They're tearing it up this season.
But in Case, like, the all, like, so he's like all time NCAA score, something like
he
that.
He did well in college.
Yeah,
his last year, he did really, yeah, I think that was like part of my last year there, too. He did well, but, I mean, because who was in front of him? There was another, because Case technically was a third-string quarterback.
Was it Kevin Cobb before him?
Somebody else that was before him.
Before that, yeah.
I don't know. I think the media pressure and people, I think that that was one of those things where it was like the media pressure of trying Case out is why Case is getting tried to shut everybody up. Like, he either is going to have to do a very, very good job or people are going to hate him for it. So.
Well, you know, what I thought was funny was, like, last game, we were all like, put in T.J. Yates.
Right.
Put in Yates. You know, Shaw was actually not doing terrible that last game, you know. He got hurt. Okay, put in Yates. You know, he gets, like, these loud, huge ovations, and what does he do? Throw a pick six.
Of course.
I mean, it's probably – I think that people underestimate the type of adrenaline that you are when you're playing a game like that. Also, like, you're – the quarterback just got hurt. You're already in a situation. He probably was nervous. Like, I mean, I know that's his job, but still, like, it has to be a lot of nerves going through that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And, so, this, you know, for it being his first start, too.
Yeah, like, you know, things happen.
So, it's understandable.
They got to get it together because this was supposed to be a very good season for them. I mean,
they were super. They were favored to be in the Super Bowl. And,
yeah, I mean, yeah, if they do really good from here on out, they but
they,
if they get Vince Young, you know what I mean?
So, you really think Vince Young could be our guy?
I think, well, here's what I think. In the locker room today, Gary Kubiak came in, did a, you know, answered a few questions, and he was saying, look, Case Keenum, he's going to make mistakes. It's his first game. We're not expecting him to be perfect, but we want him to know he's not alone out there, which I thought was really cool.
You know, yeah, like, that's
the whole,
important.
The whole team is behind Case Keenum, even if, you know, even if maybe somebody's worried about him, you know, it being his first start. But at the same time, I feel like Vince Young, he's a veteran by this point. He's from Houston. If he came in and played a game for the Houston Texans, he would, like, he would be on fire. He'd, you know, it's his hometown crowd.
It definitely wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess it's one of those, what's the worst that can happen? So, if Case Keenum does poorly this game, what do you think the chances of Vince coming are going to be?
Well, we're going to hope he does good.
We're going to hope he does very well.
Yeah, but I don't know. Realistically speaking, I would be happy if the Texans just invited Vince Young to practice. I don't know how likely it's going to be that he gets picked up by us, but it would be great. I know that there's a lot more people now who are hoping that happens. We'll see.
I don't know.
I also read something, though, yesterday about, like, you can invest in Arian Foster.
Right.
Now. What, right. Do you know more about that?
I know a little bit about that. So basically what I understand is some company, I can't remember what the company is, basically said to Arian Foster, okay, look, we're going to invest $10 million in you. You get to keep $2 million of those dollars, and the rest of the money we're going to sell at X amount of shares for $10 a share. And basically you can invest.
Can somebody invest in me?
And it's his whole brand. It's not just his performance on the field, but it's jersey sales, anything with the Arian Foster name. So he's going to be stock in Arian Foster.
So he's perpetually just became his own business, literally. Like,
essentially,
you can purchase stocks of, is that like selling your soul the real way? Like, how does that work? Like, you can, yeah, own. Like, how does that
it's,
work?
Can he get bought out?
Yeah, like, can how does that work? Like, can somebody spend so much money on you and then, like, you have to come live with me because I purchased you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
hopefully not.
I need to know the legality of it. I need to see the contract of how that even works.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because that's, like, you know, probably that's an unprecedented thing.
I can see if it was like a body part. Like, you know, we took a, you know, some people take insurance out on their, like, body parts or their,
like,
vocal
Mariah
cords.
Her legs.
With her legs, and then some artists have done it, like, with their vocal cords, or some athletes do it with their legs or their arms. That, because that way, if something happens to you, you're still okay, because then you can file your insurance on it and you get your money.
But what would happen to Mariah Carey if she got her legs chopped off?
She would.
I mean,
depending on what
her legs that iconic of a thing.
For Mariah Carey, I feel like it's the whole package. It's head to toe.
You like
she's
her?
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You like her?
I've always thought she's beautiful. Yeah.
What's your type?
What do you mean? What's my type?
What's your type of woman?
I don't have a type.
Attractive is type.
We'll pick another. Okay,
so
we'll
that's
pick,
my guy.
Name your top.
Man, on the same level right now.
If you had to, okay, attractive. Pick your top three attractive women. Just your top three of, like, your favorite.
Who, like, celebrities?
Whomever, yeah, celebrities, that way people can know them.
Oh man, that's such a hard question. I don't know. I never really think about that.
Salma Hayek.
Well, yes, she's.
I like her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her accent's great.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's a really tough question. I haven't thought about that. I just feel like there's so many options. Like, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because they're going to listen to this.
Yeah.
You know what we I mean? Like, if I don't say Penelope Cruz and then she hears this, she's going to be like, she's man, why? Really she's going to be really upset. Man.
But Penelope, I'm here for you when you make you mad. I have you. See, Brad's going to try to be there and catch you before I catch you, but no.
Peaches, you know, I mean, she asks a legitimate question. She wants to know who right. What your type is. But I think, and I think Motai, you're with me here too. Well, no, Motai has a type. I'm going to take that back.
Brad has a type.
I don't have a type.
It's changing.
What are you saying?
It's changed a lot. This at the beginning, this was not your answer. His answer was, like, mixed girl, big booty. Like, that was his thing. And it's funny.
She's speaking for you right now, man.
No, because I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Right, go ahead.
His type has changed. It's evolved a little. I'm actually quite proud of him. It doesn't sound as misogynistic as it used to.
Okay.
Okay. Never mind. Then I like where you went with that.
You always think I'm coming for you.
I don't know.
I have your back more than you think I do, but you never have mine, that. You jerk.
I have. Horse shit. Anyway, back to cement.
Hey. What's up?
So, I mean, but you know, I don't really have a type per se anymore. I just like a beautiful woman.
Sure.
Who can give me a good conversation.
Sure.
You would think the same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you in? Do you have a beautiful woman in your life right now?
Well, I don't know. I like to keep private matters private, but I don't know.
He's good at this.
It's tough because when you're on the move so much, it's hard to like really settle down and date one person. You know what I mean? Because I travel all the time, and I feel like in a relationship, I want to be able to give someone my time and my
funny.
You know what I mean?
We were talking
so
about
it's
that.
Tough. It's yeah. tough to like. For me, at this point in my life, I feel like it wouldn't be fair to me or whoever
so
I was dating.
So going into this, do you have that conversation like, look, I like you, but this is what my time is like. So
right.
this is, you know, this is kind of what I have. And then if she chooses to deal with it or not deal with it, then that chooses where you go or.
Well, I think at this point in life unless I was going to, I don't know, date a woman like 10 years older than me, which probably isn't going to happen. But, you know, if I'm dating a woman who's.
But we could dream.
Right, exactly. If I'm dating someone who's around my age or interested in that, then she's probably got her own set of goals that she wants to achieve,
hopefully.
Too. So she's probably not just sitting around all day doing nothing. So that's another factor in it right now is that most women our age are out trying to do something. So it's, you know, you can't tell them to
What's
just
the deal
stop
with
and
older,
settle down.
The fantasy of older women?
I don't know. Like, she's been there before. She can
teach you some things.
I don't know. I think Cougar Living might be the smartest dating site that they've come out with.
Have you been to it?
I haven't been to it. But I listen to a couple podcasts that always give out free promo codes for it. I've really been seriously considering. What's the worst that can happen?
I was on sugardaddies.com. Like,
there's a sugardaddies.com?
Oh,
well,
God.
That trumps Cougar Living.
That's crazy.
Wait, so how does that work?
So.
Did you sign up for an account?
I didn't sign up,
that
but I was
borderline
all over
legal,
the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really trying to figure out how it worked without just putting my name on it first. No, because, you know. I have friends that have sugar daddies that have had some. I have some that currently have them. And it's just like, I want some money too. Like,
that's where the double standard kicks in for women. You can have a sugar daddy. That's just cool. I wish I could have an older woman to take care of me.
It's a sugar mama.
A sugar mama. Oh, I guess that is a thing.
It's a thing.
I guess sugar mama is a thing. I wouldn't mind a sugar mama. Well, but no, see, here's the thing, Samad. Peaches has had this opportunity arise in her life before.
Goodness.
An older white gentleman, right? Gray in the hair, saw Peaches at this some event that you were at for 100,
you weren't
right?
even there. How do you even know this? I told you this story.
I got goons. All right. So
he
anyway,
wasn't even there.
This older white gentleman, the silver fox, if you will, was really trying to approach Peaches.
Old man in the sea.
You tell us about this.
Yeah.
I must have.
He wanted to plant his seed in the peach tree.
That's not what was happening.
Oh, boy.
So why didn't you go for him?
That
you
man was trying to buy me a drink at an already open bar.
Well, it sounds
that's a true player move, though.
Like,
you
let me
want
get you a
seven
drink.
Drinks?
Let me
I
get you a drink. Then somebody walked by and was like, yo, he's worth millions. And I'm like, okay, so I'm supposed to pretend to take this fake free drink. All right. And I did, but.
No, maybe he wasn't trying to buy you a drink. Maybe he was presenting you with one so you wouldn't have to wait in the open bar line.
You wouldn't have
it
to
wasn't a line.
Okay, off that.
To the bar.
Back on Samantha. I don't want to talk about you, Peaches.
Good.
I don't want to talk about you. I'm done with you right now. All right. don't attribute anything to this conversation unless it has to do with some man. Because you keep bringing this back to you. I'm talking about cougars. You're talking about sugar daddies. All right? We're talking about Texans. You're talking about the interviews you did with Texans. Peaches. This is about some man. This isn't about you.
He brought up the sugar daddy thing.
Anyway. And then you brought up sugar daddies. Anyway. So talk about exactly, tell people everything that you do, because you talk about traveling a lot. So tell people what you actually do.
So it's been an interesting ride so far. Basically kind of like freelance journalist at this point, but hoping to get, you know, I'd like to sign to a team, so to speak. But, you know, I have done stuff that's been featured on Complex, All Hip Hop, Rap Radar, and I didn't have to pay for those features.
Double XL?
I've been on Double XL, Hip Hop DX, OK Player, pretty much you name it as far as like hip hop blogs go. My stuff's been on there. I've interviewed a lot of folks.
Dayinadream.com.
Definitely have been on Dayinadream.com.
Shout out.
It's been cool. I've interviewed a lot of cool people over the last few years. Hopefully more to come.
Now, when I first saw your work, it was on Double XL, and it was the first part to the All-Star tribute to UGK.
Right.
Which was celebrating, I think, like the 20-year anniversary of Hard to Swallow.
The debut album, the UGK debut album.
And when I watched that, I was like, wow, he really pulled it out and got everybody.
I got so many people on that one.
So you had ASAP Rocky,
mm-hmm.
Big Boy, Ninth Wonder.
Lupe. Brother Ali. Hannibal Buress was on that.
Yeah.
Killer Mike. Waka Flocka. Mos Def. Talib Kweli. I can never remember everybody. Jazzy Jeff was on there. I just can't remember everybody.
Oh, that was like a flex. I just can't remember all the great people.
And then I did a part two. But the part one was cool because I got a lot of big names on there. But I shot it with like my old Handycam.
Yeah.
And so now I have a better camera. And
so you're more proud of the editing and the cinematography on the second part.
On the second part, right, exactly.
But I just remember watching that first part and being like, so how did you come in contact? First of all, walk me through the idea of why did you want to do this All-Star tribute to UGK?
Good question. A lot of people, if you don't know, Bun is kind of like a mentor for me. And he and I had been talking, when did I start filming? I started filming April of last year. So maybe a little bit sooner. But Bun and I had been talking about doing some kind of documentary something.
How did you come into contact with Bun?
That's a good question, too. I first met him at his album release party for Trilogy. And that was maybe the one, two, three. That was probably like the fourth interview I ever did.
Okay.
Which was kind of crazy because I always thought it would take me, you know, forever to meet Bun and interview him. Because, you know, being from Houston, he's like the god.
Yeah.
And
you hear that, Bun? Come on the show.
And so, so it was cool. Met him, interviewed him, all that good stuff. But we were talking about doing some kind of documentary thing. And it basically didn't work out because I ended up moving to Los Angeles for the last half of last year to finish my film degree. But it ended up working out because that's where I ended up doing a lot of interviews. So I basically figured if I couldn't do something with Bun, I'd do something for Bun. And I surprised him, which was the best part. Got all these people to be on it and just kind of like planned it to where, you know, I hit them all up at the same time saying, okay, it's coming out on this day at this time. Tweet it out, you know, simultaneously. And then I texted Bun like 1 minute before. I was like, yo, check your Twitter.
Oh, wow.
It was
that's
cool.
Tight.
Yeah. Wow. That actually is really cool.
It was like, it was a really cool thing.
Because it must be cool for growing up in Houston, huge UGK fan.
Of course.
Huge Bun B fan, yeah. Right? And then to get to that part, to get to that level of having a relationship with him.
Right.
And then not only having a friendship with Bun, being able to surprise him.
That's the best because it's you can't surprise him. It's very hard. The fact that I pulled it off is crazy.
Oh, wow.
I think, yeah. That is he's like the hardest person is because he knows everything.
Yeah. Right. How'd you get in touch with people like Lupe and Mos Def and all those guys?
So I try to, you know, work my avenues the best way I can. That wasn't my first interview with Lupe. I had interviewed him about a year before and just always kind of kept in touch with him. Him being very vocal about the Palestine issue. I was actually the first person to interview him about that, which was cool. And I ended up getting a lot of press and like some political blogs when that came out. And
for
so,
everybody that doesn't know, you are
half and I'm half Palestinian, right? So like, I always had like this kind of like affinity for his music, for him being, you know, fearless and standing up for that, whatever. And so through that, we kind of kept in touch. You know, he speaks a little bit of Arabic, so we, you know, when I see him, we can speak Arabic with each other.
You speak Arabic as well?
Not fluently, but I'm working on it. So yeah, so like with Lupe, that interview happened in Los Angeles, and I basically hit him and his manager up, you know, maybe a couple days before. I was like, yo, I'm out in the city. I'm doing this thing for Bun. If you're down, let's do it. He was like, cool. So he invited me to a show, and then after the show, we did the interview. It was cool. And the Mos Def and Talib interviews happened in Los Angeles as well. And that was crazy because the stories I've been told are that Mos Def like just does not do interviews anymore.
Yeah.
He just doesn't do them.
He just doesn't want to.
So it was the Black Star show in Los Angeles, which was cool. 20th anniversary of Lyricist Lounge. And I was there with Talib. Talib let me roll with him. We filmed the interview, and then Mos Def walks in, and when Mos Def like walks in a room, he just like all the energy just like gets focused on him, and not in like a negative way. It's like he just has like this radiance about him that you just can't like ignore. And so Bun had told me about when the Gina 6 situation was happening in Louisiana. Bun went out there, and the only other rapper that was there was Mos Def.
Yeah,
you know, I think Al Sharpton was there, Jesse Jackson, but the only two rappers were Mos Def and Bun, and him and Mos just kept looking around like, where is everybody? Everybody talks like they're down for the cause.
Right.
Where is everybody?
Story, yeah.
And so when I met Mos, I was like, yo man, Bun told me this story. Would you mind telling it on camera? He was like, yeah man, for sure. So I was like, yes, let's do this.
Yes.
It's kind of, absolutely, you know, type that you had approaches for everybody that wasn't necessarily just about the music though,
right?
Because you said that, you know, for Lupe, you know, you all talked about the Palestinian issue, and mm-hmm. then for Mos Def, you had the Genius 6 issue. So it's a nice take on it that it's not solely just about the music. It's about,
right,
you know, how they influence other things around it too. So that's dope.
It's definitely like Bun as a person is very, I guess cosmopolitan is the right term. Like he has friends in so many different circles, and not just in hip hop, but outside of hip hop too. So like, everybody has a different Bun story.
Yeah.
And everybody has only nice things to say about him, too, which is why Bun and UGK are one of the few subjects that you could really do something like that for.
Because everyone has universal kind of love for him.
Right. Exactly. So
all coasts, you know, all parts of the world.
And even on this last one, I had Dizzy Rascal, who's from England. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
of everybody that you've interviewed about that, who's been your favorite?
Man, Brother Ali was really intense because he... When I reached out to him, that happened in San Bernardino, California. When I reached out to him, he was like super, super pumped. He was like, man, I'd love to talk about Bun and this and that. And so we meet up with him, and he's sitting there and he's talking about how like UGK's music needs to be in like the Smithsonian, like it needs to be preserved for, you know, future generations.
Really?
Yeah, he had really, 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 really sincere things to say about Bun and UGK. But for me, I think one of the highlights though, just because I have a lot of respect for him, was Rakim. And Rakim was in the most recent one. And he's my favorite rapper. So interviewing him was like crazy. And I don't know if Bun knows this, but like after the interview, Rakim was like, yo, man, you know, why didn't Bun come out to the show? And I was like, no, Bun was here at the show. Bun was here. And but Bun had left early because he sleeps early. And
fun fact. He goes to sleep early.
Yes, exactly. He's not a young buck anymore. He turns in early. But Rakim was like, man, I don't have digits on Bun anymore. I was like, well, you're Rakim. You should have digits for Bun.
Yeah.
And so I gave...
Let me give you Bun's number.
Yeah, I gave Rakim Bun's like contact
info. That's
probably
a surreal moment.
Yeah, so I was like, what's... This is weird.
I'm giving Rakim Bun's phone number.
Right.
Yeah, so it was weird. So I'm sure he texted him right after that, and Bun probably doesn't know that. That's how that happened. But,
oh wow!
Yeah,
God, see, like, so. I'm sure, like, because you know, I've been, you know, doing this for a little while, and I find myself in sometimes surreal moments. You know,
of course.
Where you're like, oh, that's blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But how is it like for you just to be able to make a film that your name is attached to, right? And to have these people like Rakim, who you know is probably one of the greatest MCs ever in the history of hip hop. Are you a hip hop nerd? Would you say you're a hip hop nerd?
I don't want to say I'm like the most knowledgeable guy, but I definitely would put myself in that category.
I mean,
to
put Rakim as like one of your favorite MCs, you got to be pretty knowledgeable about hip hop.
Yeah.
I mean, and that guy is just ridiculous when it comes to writing raps and just to be able to like
He just influenced so many people. It's,
and it's
like
just
nuts.
Stupid how good he is.
Yeah.
What is it about Rakim for you that you actually like?
for me, I like it when a rapper, like, you know, I'm sure everybody appreciates good lyricism.
Yeah.
You know, when you can make words rhyme, that's always great. That's what you're supposed to do when you rap. But for me, with Rakim, it's like he can take you so many places in a verse. Like,
yeah,
he puts all these images in your head about where he wants to go with his verse. And that's what always grabbed me about him. Like, my favorite Rakim song is Follow the Leader. You know, he talks about, you know, going off into the Milky Way, you know.
Yeah, those cosmic stuff.
Right.
The thing that I liked about Rakim is when I started researching hip-hop and going back and listening to, like, you know, late 80s hip-hop. I mean, it really was all kind of the same kind of stuff. You know,
right.
It was like, you know, it was just that kind of still, it was a little disco-y, you know,
right,
in the 80s or whatever.
And it was always, people would come in on that, like, 4-beat, like the Run DMC classic, like,
yeah,
the rhyme style.
And then Rakim came, and it was almost like Snoop Dogg in a way to me. When Snoop first came out, and then you hear, like, and he's just like, one. So,
yeah.
Great. And then Rakim was just the same way. You know what I mean? He was so chill.
Very, like, conversational. Like, it sounded like he was talking to you.
It was like he was talking to you. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was so, like,
exactly,
let me tell you a little story real quick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fiend of a microphone.
Yeah.
And he wasn't yelling it at you. He wasn't making it. Like, I'm a huge wrestling guy, right?
Right.
I come from wrestling. And, like, you know, you think Hulk Hogan, and he was like, well, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
Right? But then when you got to Jake the Snake Roberts, he would be like, so anyway, you know, let me enter you into my world, right? And then
right,
it just made you go, oh, my God,
what
are
exactly
you saying? And it's the same thing for me to Rakim.
Exactly.
Greatest analogy I've ever
That's
made.
That's a great analogy,
Rakim,
yeah.
Jake the Snake Roberts, same person. No,
That's fantastic.
Anyway, So you're talking to Rakim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you – did you take – I know you're starting to take selfies with people. Did you get
I did get a picture, but we didn't do a selfie with Rakim.
What is that selfie thing about?
Because
I remember I saw you at Kirko's mixtape release or listening or whatever.
Right.
And you were like, hey, let's take a selfie because I'm starting to do this. What is it, what is that about?
Well, so that came from my sisters. My sisters told me that I didn't take enough selfies. And so I was like,
I doesn't ever want to take freaking selfies.
I don't
selfies
like selfies. Yeah.
Like, I tell him all the time, like, we'll do videos or whatever in the car, and then sometimes we'll turn them into like little YouTubes. But I was like, they always have to go on mine. He never puts them on his. And it's not fair because he gets to shine all over my shit. I don't get to shine on his.
Yeah, you need to step it up, probably.
You should tell him that.
Do I need to do the selfies now?
I mean, like, when I asked Kirko, he was like, man, you can't call him selfies. That's not right.
Yeah, and I don't think so either.
I was like, well, it's too late. My sisters already call him selfies.
You might be able to give it with the selfie thing. Brad, no, but you can do it.
I don't know. What's another term you could do besides selfie?
There's one. Yeah.
Makes so much sense.
I take that back. What is it though, Saman, about hip hop? Like, what is it that made you? Because obviously, you know, you're probably not born into listening to hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like I wasn't either. So, like, what is it about hip hop that did you? How did you discover it?
So it happened in two different ways. The first way is I only have like one older dude cousin. He's 4 years older than me, so he's like my big brother. And one day we're at his house. They used to live in Austin. So we go to his house. I'm probably like 10. He's like 14. And he's like, hey man, I don't know if I should be doing this, but have you heard of Dr. Dre? I was like, no, who's Dr. Dre?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to show you something right now. Don't tell your parents I did this. And he throws on Dr. Dre's 2001 album or whatever.
All
right. And right away I was like, what is this? This is incredible. And
And how old were you?
I think I was 10.
10, okay.
It came out in 99, so that probably maybe a couple months later, 2000 was when I heard it. So that was that. And then the other thing, so then, you know, then that's how I became a hip-hop nerd, because I wanted to go on the internet and look up all the samples and this and that. But then the other part of it is being Arab, you know, you go to protests all the time and rallies and this and that. And just when I was looking up hip-hop stuff, you know, for the first couple times on the internet, some of the first videos I saw were like Public Enemy videos.
Yeah.
And just by chance,
super,
and I identified,
political,
you know, like Fight the Power, like that video looked exactly like all the protests my parents had been taking me to since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is clearly the genre of music I need to be listening to, because I'm not getting this in a country video or like a, you know, NSYNC video. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is the stuff right here. So.
Oh, wow, man.
That's how I got into it.
Public Enemy, yeah. You talk about super you know. Well, you know what I always thought was funny about Public Enemy, though, is you have Chuck D, right?
Right.
Like, you know, when it comes to rapping, like razor sharp, right?
Yeah.
And he just cuts through the track. Yeah. And then I always thought that, I guess Flavor Flav was his just like the comedic relief of the group.
Exactly.
So it's like, it wasn't so like, oh my God, I'm getting so much information. You just getting
needed
yeah,
that balance.
Boy. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's, I always thought that was funny about Flavor Flav. And then the yeah. horrible reality show. You were a Flavor Love fan.
Oh, God.
You know, I watched the first like season because it was new. You know, that's when it was new. That's when that entire
wave. What was
wave...
the girl in the first season? What was her name? New York.
Oh.
You were a New York fan, weren't you?
Nah, she was too much for me. I did watch the show though because it was new when it came out. I mean, it was entertaining and that was what it was supposed to be. But after that,
I don't like seeing these hip hop legends do reality shows.
I don't know. I mean, Flavor Flav is a character, but Chuck always says, you know, Public Enemy wouldn't have been what it was without him. So I got to take his word for it.
I mean, it's. I think that's one of those things where it kind of diminishes, like something like Flavor Love kind of diminishes,
yeah.
you know, what it was for the type of rap that they did, but that doesn't go. Into the kind of person that he was. Like, you know what I'm saying? That was his job. That was him rapping. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he still pioneered that entire reality TV-esque lane. Like,
that's true.
He was first.
That's true.
Is that better, though? Or is that for the good or for the worse?
I mean, he was first. Like, you can't really... Clearly, for the good, that's all that's been going on TV since he did it. Like, after Flavor yeah. of Love, it did Charm School, which was right. a spinoff of Flavor of Love. Like, at the end of the day, his show paid people. Like, people got fame
well, yeah,
off
they did
of
Charm
him.
School, right? Then they did the I Love New York.
Yeah,
and
like
they had the two dudes from I Love New York. I can't remember their names.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. I could sit here and be like, "Oh my God, it was horrible," but shit, look at what stemmed from it. Like, how long ago was that?
That's true.
How long ago was that?
That was a long time
I would
time
say that
ago.
Was at least six to eight.
I don't
years
remember
ago.
Much about the show, but I do remember a girl taking a shit on the stairs.
I clearly did not watch that show enough.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I remember some girl spitting
right.
on another girl, but that's
like the
probably
first or second season. I think it was the second season. She took a dump on the purple carpet.
That's just really disgusting.
Nice.
Like,
that's good.
Yeah. You're definitely going to get your rose or whatever they gave out, clocks or whatever.
Yeah, nah.
You're definitely getting that. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about all the, like, because I heard a rumor on the internet that's been going on, and I think you've told me about it too, Peaches, that there's going to be a Love & Hip Hop Houston.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to have Slim Thug on it,
whoever,
Willie D,
yeah.
Or whomever. These are rumors, yeah. of course. What do you think if there was a Love & Hip Hop Houston, especially for someone, I would feel some type of way about it, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think there's enough, like, scandal in Houston. Like,
yeah.
Bun's married, Paul Wall's married. You know what I mean? Like
ESG's married.
People, yeah, ESG's married.
Well,
people are, you know what I mean?
I think with that too, though, that's a lot of the older names. And on most of these shows now, you don't have
yeah.
that many older names.
But I heard like Willie D is going to be on.
Yeah,
it.
See, and again,
that's interesting.
I was with you. I didn't think there was enough. Like, I'm not saying that there's not any people here, but Atlanta is full of like drama. Like Atlanta, you always have like Atlanta's like a Black Hollywood, so there's always extra stuff going on. It's a city full of people that are famous.
Yeah.
Where here, it's a circle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's
you
like,
pretty much know everybody.
Yeah.
Here,
you pretty
yeah.
once you've you know crossed over. Like I don't like even before today. Like he asked me, I was like, I've met you in passing, but I haven't like met you.
Right.
Once you go to an event or you go to an event for a summer, you kind of see everybody, and then that's pretty much the extent of it. You get new people every now and then, but
right.
it's not like just enough stuff
it's
happening.
It's not a full city worth of things like Atlanta
but,
is.
Well, I'm not saying that the show couldn't potentially create that because I still think that they're kind of scripted to begin with. They kind of give you
for
scenarios
sure. yeah,
and kind of play it
scripted,
out.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah.
I, you know, I just think that it might not be as entertaining as it's supposed to be, because even with someone like Slim is a chill dude. He doesn't really do a lot of the extra stuff.
He's funny though.
He's hilarious. But if you watch the other shows, it's just like a lot of drama.
Right.
It's a lot of drama. It's a lot of he said, she said. It's a lot of throwing of things and cups and drinks and stuff. And I've never really even seen that happen. So
in real life.
Yeah, like in real life, like if you throw a drink on
who
me,
who just gets mad at each other and just starts chunking bottles? Oh,
no.
I take that back.
Yeah.
It's like,
I remember when that happened.
I don't know. What do you watch reality television at all?
Not
see,
at all.
I don't
yeah.
I'm,
like
I'm not frequent. I don't frequent it either.
Yeah.
So I just don't get it, but
I like dramas and comedy, but I don't like reality television. What do you watch though?
What do I watch? That's a great question. The last show, this is going to make me sound like I don't watch enough TV, which is true.
I don't.
The last show that I was really, really into was Friday Night Lights. That was the last show I really, really got into.
That was a good movie,
You weren't a Breaking Bad guy?
Wasn't a Breaking Bad guy. I mean, like, I had to watch episodes of it for my film classes and whatnot, so I appreciate it. I think it's very well done.
Film class?
Yeah, yeah. They show, you know, a couple things. And, like, one of my... now I can't remember which one it was, but one of my film professors left halfway through the semester because she got signed on by Netflix. She's a writer on one of the series. I don't want to say which one because I can't remember now off the top of my head, but she's a writer for one of the Netflix TV series. So we definitely watched a lot of TV in our film classes, for sure.
But I think that when you like watching film classes and when watching it from in that way, watching other things makes it that much harder to watch.
We definitely spent a lot of time breaking stuff down, for sure.
Yeah, but it's like some, you know, a lot of stuff doesn't have as much substance and as much, you know, like they don't take as much time to write out the stories, or there's not symbology in the back of the things, and there's not a lot of other stuff that goes on into it to, you know, for you to watch it and take something from it. A lot of it is just what you see is what you get.
Some of it, yeah, definitely like with the reality stuff, but like you know, for example, Lost. If you look at Lost, they had like this Bible of everything that had happened and would happen. And I, you know, I never really super got into Lost either, but it was like amazing. So for most shows like Breaking Bad, I'm sure they have the same thing. They know what's going to happen, like, you know, probably halfway through the second season, they knew what was going to happen at the end of the fourth season, you know what I mean? Like
they're
have
not,
this huge
not, like, writing episode by episode. They're thinking it all the way through.
It's all the way thought out, all the way in. It's crazy how they have like all these backstories for each character, like
it's
stuff
amazing.
That never it's cuz
you get enthralled
really
in it. Like you get completely caught up in these fictional characters and they become real.
To me, the show that I got hooked on, which I just saw it on Netflix, right, you know, like, you know, a year ago, and didn't think, I honestly thought it was going to be like a Gossip Girl show, but it was Scandal, is what the name, you know, it was Scandal.
Okay.
And when I started watching Scandal, I was like, yo.
I like Scandal.
It's crazy.
But this is my thing. I've been waiting to say this, and I didn't want to tweet it because I don't feel like my mentions being in shadows.
Shots.
Nah, you know what? It's not, because a lot of... I'm a part of Black Twitter. I don't know if you've heard of that, you know. But
we don't get that. Sure.
You don't get that. But no, they sit here and they go in on, you know, the character Olivia Pope saying how she's the black woman and how if this was real life,
she's the black woman?
Well, in the show.
Okay.
You know, how this is real life, she wouldn't be dating all these white men in these areas and how she's just blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, you have to take circumstance into play. If she's working in Washington and she's working in the White House, that's all she's around. Like, who else is she going to date?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying?
You're saying it's not realistic for a black woman to be dating like...
No, I'm not saying... I'm saying that it is realistic, but other people are saying that it is not realistic because...
Why do you think that is?
Because Black Twitter ain't got no sense. Honestly.
You're saying it's a bunch of ignorance?
Yeah, I don't think it's
so
that far fetched.
You don't agree, is what you're saying.
I don't agree.
Yeah,
okay. I don't think that it's that far fetched.
No,
if that's the area, like if that's your bubble, then of course you're gonna date within your bubble. Like, how is it far fetched for her to be dating the president if the president don't love his wife and clearly loves her back but just can't leave what he's in? It's fucked up, but it makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Ish. I'm not saying it's right, but it's feasible.
I think, you know, we're living in 2013, and I know that's a thing that gets said a lot, and it's almost 2014. But it's like, I don't think any of that, especially in our generation of people, I don't think any of that really matters anymore. You know what I mean? I think if you see an interracial couple or whatever, I don't think, to me, if I see an interracial couple, I don't say, oh, look, that's a pretty little interracial couple. I don't think that. You know what I mean? I think, oh, I don't even think anything.
Yeah.
If she's attractive, I'd be like, damn.
But we know what that's like just from going out in public, like when we go eat tacos.
When people think that we're in a relationship?
Yes. It's weird. People stare at us all the time.
I'm sure, yeah.
Because it just doesn't look like I guess it just doesn't look like an everyday dynamic.
No.
It's definitely still a head turner. You know, we're as much as we've progressed, maybe, we have a long way to go.
From your background, how do you feel about that?
It's interesting, you know, because I am mixed, so, I don't know, but the mix with my parents wasn't as, like, drastic, I guess, as far as, like, skin tone, so a lot of times when my parents went out, people, you know, didn't really think anything of it, but, you know, I definitely have, you know, for example, one of my parents' best friends, It's an older Jewish woman and a black dude, and they've been together for like 50 years or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, and wow.
Yeah, so you know, I can only imagine. Yeah,
you know, they've been through it.
I can only imagine what it was like back in the day for them. Yeah, that must have been hell.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. When we come back, I want to talk to Saman a little bit about his interview style and what he thinks makes a good interview.
Great.
Because I went on a little small little Twitter rant last night about what I think it is. So we'll be right back on the Brad Gilmore Show. DJ Motai is going to play us some music, and we'll be right back with Saman.
Fuck it. Got my nigga with me.
Enough foolishness.
What we doing, Jack? Duggin' hoes. Mud ducks, I can't fuck with those.
Can't fuck with
by my nose. Deliver this dick like dominoes. Gotta be a real woman, though. If she not a thoroughbred, I'ma know. Really, nigga.
Really, nigga. Really, nigga.
Seminole. Shoot at any nigga, bitch. With an arrow, pharaoh. Is what I be. Make a statue of me before I leave. I get stoned. Before I leave, you basic, thinking that's what I mean.
Basic.
I'm a king, nigga.
China.
My eyes bloodshot, cause I had a blue dream, nigga. Weed and liquor,
basic.
Having meetings with them.
China.
Swear every single night, hoes wanna come and kick it with us, people, nigga. Go. Drench me and I'll go. Got a little pimp C in my soul. Can't guess me, cause a nigga too though. Knocking down doors along with these hoes. They finna OD with me off of this dro. The way that it goes, the way that it's supposed to. Shit, I be social, unlike my culture. Niggas doing post it. Post it. Hey, that nigga post it. Post it.
Why these niggas
post?
I don't know why these niggas
post.
Why you bitches doing
post? Post. Smoke a pound of the goods, smoke a pound of the goods. Need a pound of it, leave a pound of it. I'm a pound that pussy, I'm a pound that pussy. Need a pound of it, leave a pound of it. OD, OD, OD. I might OD, OD. I'm a pound of that pussy, need a pound of that dro. Is any guards left, man, I don't really know. I could pick the lighter up, I could put it in the bone. And I guarantee that I still get gone. I might OD, OD, OD. I might OD, OD, OD. Oh my, on the road to the gold mine. If I was colorblind, I still see the green and that's Mary Jane. And them Frank Lance, one dirty, one stankin'. They say you wildin', now I'm life in. I'm looking for a stallion with a dro sack and a wet cat. See them types, they be my drug and they got my OD. Puffin' OG, pussy weed, my remedy. I tell her quit, actin' stuck up, and get stuck up. Can I visit your vagina for just one day and two nights? Is that too upfront or just being real? It's murder. Homicide, smoking kill, can't chill, cause we do it for the thrill. It's all for a check, so I just do it. Only one life, I'ma live until I lose it. The money on the go, so a nigga keep moving. Can't none move me, but the money and the music. Married to Regina, you can call me Martin Payne. Lay down a pipe, then I smoke it out the same. If there's no guards left, then I put it in the bone. I guarantee that I still get gone, nigga gone. Gone. I guarantee that I still get gone, nigga gone. Gone. I guarantee that I still get gone, nigga gone. Gone. I guarantee that I still get gone, nigga gone. Gone. I guarantee that smoke a pound of the goods, smoke a pound of the goods. Need a pound of it, leave a pound of it. I'm a pound that pussy, I'm a pound that pussy. Need a pound of it, leave a pound of it. OD, OD, OD. I might OD. OD, OD. I'm a pound of that pussy, need a pound of that dro. Is any guards left, man, I don't really know. I could pick the lighter up, I could put it in the bone. And I guarantee that I still get gone. I might OD, OD, OD. I might OD, OD, OD. I might.
Thank you.
here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We have Samantha still in the building with us. We were talking a little bit. At the beginning of the show, you were talking about interviewing Houston Texans. Peaches was fantasizing about, you know, Arian Foster's schlong.
That is a nice-looking man.
You like Arian Foster?
He's a nice-looking man.
He does
guy.
It for you? What'd you think about Devere? Or can you not go in that territory?
Yeah, no.
Because that's like your friend's whatever.
Yeah.
You like Houston Devere, though.
No, not. I did not think of him like that because I met him through his girlfriend. Like, I'm friends with his girlfriend.
All right, whatever. Off you again, Peaches. That's Samantha.
He always wants me to be some trifast girl.
Hey, gosh. Hey, stop being a homewrecker, Peaches. All right? Don't do that. That's not nice. All right? Okay, Olivia Pope. Anyway. You're talking about doing interviews, and I was talking about it last night. I was watching an interview. I'm not going to say who was with or where, and the actual interviewers were doing a really good job. They were asking the right questions. They're trying to guide the interview like you're supposed to do as an interviewer, but the interviewee, the guest, the person who was being asked questions, was not, you know, answering them. And to me, it's like I went on Twitter and said, you know, it's a two-way thing. You know, when we ask a question as an interviewer, you need to respond kind of to what we said. And if you have the right media training, you know how to, like, kind of swerve your way around if you don't really want to say an answer.
Right.
But you can't just say – because a lot of people, I'm sure, have asked you, can you interview me? Or, you know, a lot of people ask us the same thing. Can we come on your show and be interviewed? And it's like, but they don't have anything to talk about.
Nothing. Like, I'm sorry, because it really grinds my gears. And I think it's like trying to be nice about it, you know, trying to stay in the politically correct form way of saying no instead of just being like, for what?
Yeah.
For what?
Like, for what? Interview you about what? You got 5 minutes worth of information.
Yeah.
What you going to do with an hour and a half? Like, what are we going to talk about?
Well, what they probably don't get is that they're essentially telling you how to do your job, and they shouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? Nobody, it's like being a DJ. DJs don't want song requests. They don't want you telling them how to do their job.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Right? So,
what's your pet peeve when you're interviewing someone?
I don't really have a pet peeve, I guess, but one thing I always notice, I have a pet peeve about myself, is that I used to have just like really stupid like fill words. Like, I'd be like, cool, like, that's great. I stopped doing that a few years ago, but that was like, at first that was like one of my things. I was like, I gotta stop doing that.
Mine is my voice, learning where I want it,
yeah,
like the level that I want.
Like, when we're on air, or we're on podcast, whatever, are we when we're on bandwidth, I put like a little rasp to my shit.
I try to talk a little lower because it sounds better
to you.
No, it translates better. Like, maybe I should start doing that. Put your sexy voice on. No, it does. It sounds better, you know, versus just, you know, how it would be if I was at home or, you know, or trying to be more conscious of actually saying words better because it can be heard again. And just, you know, how you talk at home isn't how you would talk if you were going, like, to an interview or to something else.
Yeah, you got a code switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to the people that you interview. So, how often, like, does it get annoying when people come up to you and ask you to interview them?
You know, thankfully that hasn't happened as much anymore. But yeah, you just got to figure out different ways to deflect it. You know what I mean?
Can you teach me your ways? Because I'm trying.
Like, what's your best go-to response when someone asks and you don't want to interview them?
Well, usually they're not expecting a question back when they come up to you with that. So they'll be like, yeah, you know, you should interview my artist. I'll be like, for what?
I do that. And then they look at you with such a state of shock.
What am I supposed to interview them for?
And I've done that. Like, people are like, you want this coming on a show? For what?
Yeah.
Well, we have a show coming up. You want to interview me for one day?
Shots.
Like, I mean, no, it's not. Like, it's that's happened more than once. And it's just like, again, this interview is recorded and it's going to be there. And we want it to get referenced. Like, at the end of the day, how many clicks are you bringing me?
The thing I hate the most is when someone will text me at like 4 a.m. and say, so when am I coming on the show?
Brad deflects them to me and then I got to do all the deflecting.
Yeah, I say, oh yeah, do the Peaches says all the, okay. That's my way of deflecting it.
Yeah.
But as an interviewer, you know, some of my favorite interviewers are, of course, like Howard Stern, Larry King. Those are people I look at and really enjoy. And there are a few podcasts like Chris Hardwick on the Nerdist podcast. I really enjoy his That's interview style. One, yeah. What do you think? What's your style? And what do you, who are people you like to listen to as an interviewer? Who do you like?
As an interviewer, who are the... Oh, wow. That's... Wow, that was a good one. Now I got to think. Man, I really like... What I really like is... And it, the thing is, there's not one specific one, but they always get good ones. There's a... I'll name two. So there's a show, and this is going to be my Arab half coming out. There's a show on Al Jazeera. It's called The Cafe.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I think about in interviews is the the toughest part about an interview is breaking the awkward bubble.
Yeah. Right.
No matter who you're interviewing, whether they're super famous or super not famous, is getting into like conversation mode.
Yeah.
And there's a show on Al Jazeera called The Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect. It's like they go to some city in the Middle East or in the United States, and they get, you know, whatever talk. Let's say they're talking about. I think the last one I saw was about corruption in Kenya. So they're in Kenya, and they get, you know, different thinkers and intellectuals from Kenya to sit down at a cafe and just start talking. It's great because they're in a comfortable environment.
Yeah.
So automatically, it's much easier for them to have a roundtable discussion. Whereas I think, you know, most interviews, we're not fortunate enough to have them in the, you know, that comfortable of an environment. But I'll tell you who else is good is another dude who's based out of Beirut. His name is Jackson Allers, and he's, you know, he's been published from Al Jazeera to Vice to Rolling Stone, this and that.
His name sounds super familiar.
Yeah, look him up. Look him up sometime. He has a really great thing he does called the World Hip Hop Market, where basically it's a very similar thing. When artists pass through Lebanon, he brings them to like a little cafe lounge place and has them do like a performance and then interviews them in between each song, much the same way at KEXP in Seattle does, which I'm also a big fan of KEXP in Seattle. And Larry Mazel is one person I could name drop. Larry Mazel is always great. Great writer, great interviewer. I just like it when an interview can be
more
conversational
than,
right.
So tell me about, I was listening to an interview with Tom Hanks. And he said the thing he hates most about doing press is when, like, he has a new movie out, like the Captain Phillips movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And or like say Forrest Gump, and he goes to sit down to do the interview, and like the interviewer doesn't even ask him a question; they just say the title of the movie. So, Captain Phillips.
He's like, yeah.
And they just wait for him.
Yeah, it's like you're supposed to pick up, and you're like, but you ain't asking me. Oh, okay, that's the title of it, yes.
Captain Phillips. And they just wait for that answer.
Right.
But it's like if they responded with what I would have responded, like, hey, you're an asshole. But it's like, no, you ain't saying anything. Like, what about the title?
Yeah, like is that like
are
a
you going
question?
Somewhere with it?
Yeah. And what was cool is at UT is I used to do like red carpet interviews, which was always cool. And there's an art to it. There's an art to red carpet interviews. And the craziest thing I ever saw was it wasn't anybody from UT. It was some other reporter. I won't say what outlet she was from, but who was it? It was Edward Norton.
Yeah.
I believe. She interviews him, and the first question she asks is, are you excited about, you know, this new movie? And he goes, what kind of effing question is that? Of course I'm excited. And he's dropping all these expletives and stuff. And he basically made her cry. He made her cry on the red carpet.
Seems like the guy who would make someone cry.
Right? He was like, of course. And he like started yelling. It was crazy.
Of course I love this effing movie.
Right.
I made it.
It was nuts.
It's one of those things where it's like, duh. And even if I didn't, am I going to tell you that?
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to say yes.
Yeah,
that's just that is a dumb question.
It's like there's some questions that are just like, you know, they're kind of basic. And then it's like, if especially if someone's on a press circuit, if you want your interview to stand out, why are you asking the same
questions
that everybody else is asking?
Right.
Like, you're not the only person that's interviewing them. So I think, like, for somebody that's doing the interview, it's like, how are you going to make the interview different? How are you going to make it worth listening to, especially if it's on a podcast and it's over an hour? How are you going to make somebody pay attention that long?
Right.
Like, what are you going to do that's going to keep them interested long enough, you know, to say, like, for whatever.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think? What's your interview style? Like, how do you keep people engaged and keep the person you're interviewing engaged?
I think the best way for anybody to do it is the easy way. Maybe it's not easy for others, but if you just know what you're talking about, automatically whoever you're talking to is going to pick up on that.
That you know.
Even if they, you know, at first they might have, like, some preconceived notion about you. if you start talking and you sound like you know what you're talking about, that's one of the first like icebreakers you can have.
Yeah.
They'll feel like they're on a level playing field with whoever they're talking to. But then it's always good to ask not typical questions. Because
like
especially
what you have for breakfast this morning.
That's what I always do. I at some point I'm gonna do a compilation of rappers talking about what they had for breakfast because I've gotten some pretty good responses on that. So yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, there's a lot of good icebreaker questions that you can ask. So I like to.
What kind
make
of
sure
shampoo do you use?
What kind of shampoo do I use? That's a great question. Y'all are asking really good questions today. Because I keep saying that. I don't know. I just get the stuff. I don't even know what it's called.
Are you
I just
whatever's in the shower, guy whatever. Or a conditioner yeah. guy.
Well, with my length of hair, and I'm sure Brad can attest to this, you have to use conditioner.
You got to condition.
You have to condition.
Brad doesn't know what he does to his hair. It might be a wig that he just super glues on. Every day. I'm not sure because it's always the same way.
Yeah. You know, you have to condition for sure. It's important.
I mean, I condition.
How does that work? I bought the Let Me Explain Kevin Hart Blu-ray last night mm-hmm. at an off-brand red box.
Sure.
And
orange box.
Yeah, it was it was like a maroonish box. Yeah. Anyway, but I was watching the previews. I'm actually a guy who actually likes to watch previews on DVDs.
I love them.
I don't want to skim through. I want to know.
I adore previews.
My favorite thing back in the day like is like now coming soon to DVD.
We watched the movie the other day and it showed up and I was like, "Oh my god, this movie is so old, it's perfect."
And now, feature presented. And like I love that. Yeah. So anyway, I was watching the previews and there was the Chris Rock documentary for some reason was still on a preview on this Let Me Explain, but it was the Good Hair documentary, right?
Yeah.
And I still have never seen it, but now I really want to watch it because it looked great. How does it work for you? Can you wash and dry and shampoo and condition your
my weave?
Weave?
Yes, you're supposed to wash. I don't blow dry it because it makes the hair brittle because it's not attached to actual follicles, so it doesn't have anything pushing nutrients back through it, so I don't blow dry it. But I do wash and condition it. I treat it like I treat my hair. Like quote unquote have good hair anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really take much to you know to do it with. So I guess typical girl rules, not a lot of heat, tied up.
How does Asian hair work, Motai?
So easy, man.
He's been waiting for me to ask him that.
So I mean, you know, I like to put a hat on if I, you know, because that's just easier. Because it's humid here and it just doesn't stay straight.
Sometimes I blow dry, but that's if it's
you blow dry that? Yeah, you have an inch and a half of hair.
Before I cut it.
You got blow dry. Blow drying is sometimes necessary.
You blow dry?
I don't blow dry all the time. So it has to be a pretty unique day for me.
You gotta be feeling good. Yeah.
No, Brad is like a girl about his hair. Like, he's real diva-ish about his hair.
I know. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know. See, those are one of those white people things that I, as a black girl,
those are white.
I never use that.
As long as I use that, I use white and some blow dry.
And I'm the diva.
I didn't expect you to name all of that.
That's funny.
You said he's talking about Asian hair being so easy, and he's like,
"I'm so shocked at you right now." That was just like, I really didn't expect it to come from you.
Today, all I did was put wax on my hair.
You put wax on your hair?
Yeah.
You so shiny.
Nah, it's like gel. Gel makes it shiny.
Gel makes it like shiny and sticky, like which is nasty. Yeah, I don't like that
do
either.
Do you have hair rituals?
I used to have, back in the day in middle school, I used to have the spiked hair or whatever, like all the other dudes. Gel? So I was all about the gel.
Yeah, no, just gel life back then.
It had to be like frozen on top of my head.
When you cut, the girls used to come up and do like this to it all the time.
Yeah, I remember that.
So what do you do for it now?
Nothing at all. I take a shower. I got lucky. I just take a shower, let it dry.
Guys in hair care, who knew?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to manscape. You know what I mean? You got to make sure everything.
Do you manscape, Brad?
Every guy manscapes.
No, every guy does not manscape.
Well, every guy needs to manscape.
I agree with you, but every guy does not manscape. Do you manscape?
I don't do my eyebrows or anything like that, but...
Gotta make sure everything's clean.
Everything needs to be clean, you know, if yeah.
So.
It's gotta be clean.
Yeah.
It's gotta be clean.
You gotta be clean about it. It's like
what are you looking
natural.
At us for, Peter? Yeah.
I just asked. I have a question.
Okay, what's up?
this guy asked on Twitter the other day, and then I was with
so
one
I know
of my
it's ratchet.
It is very ratchet, but I was with one of my homegirls, and I asked her the same question, and we sat there for 10 minutes stumped. Do you lotion your penis?
Do I lotion my penis?
Oh, yeah. My
when I'm
gosh.
Masturbating?
No, like when you do you put lotion on your body ever, Brad?
I don't know. I don't lotion my body. I'm not a lotion guy. I'm not ashy. I don't have any real use for a lotion. I clean it with
I'm
body wash.
I'm a group of darker complected people because
yeah, we clean, but we don't lotion it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just asking. It just really made me wonder because it was like, do you put lotion on it? Like, does it get ashy? That was a real question. Like, I don't mean that in any kind of, like, sexual sense. Like, that was a real life, like, do you lotion, like, you lotion your elbow? Like, I really just wanted to know.
Well, you know, I have actually really red and raw elbows.
If I lotion, it's just, like, my arms. It's in my hands.
Do you put lotion on in the morning?
I don't think, put lotion on my body.
Yeah.
Never. What?
No. I'm Arab, so I got a lot of olive oil in my diet, so my skin is like always like really smooth.
So see, yeah, you need to ask some. You need to ask some darker complected people about that.
Because apparently, I don't have to use lotion. Like,
I don't use lotion. I don't. I need you to actually get that bottle of lotion out of my vehicle.
That lotion smells awesome.
I'm trying to figure out what some man's doing right now.
I just killed some kind of bug.
Oh.
I feel
this
bad
is
about
Brad's
that now.
Studio.
No, it's all right.
I'm trying to help you, you know, keep up the
I
place.
I appreciate you. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
So what do you? We had like this 5 minute body care talk.
Actually, this is gonna sound weird after the lotion thing. I just remember I really like the guy, the Inside the Actor Studio guy.
Oh yeah,
that's one of my favorite. I just like I go on
he's
like
good.
Binges of watching like the because they're like an hour long with like your favorite actor or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that.
I he's do good. That. I go on binges of watching. I either goes if I find an interviewer that I like. I'll go on binges of watching interviews that they've done. Then it's just certain people. I'll go on interviews that they've done. And then just, you know, seeing their different answers for things. And then depending on who interviewed them and what they were able to bring out of them. Because I think that's an important thing as an interviewer. Like, even like, you know, with the Kanye one, with how that was, I felt like
if Zane
was able to just do a little bit more in that interview, that interview could have been that much more epic and it wouldn't have just been about Kanye.
Yeah, I always had this idea if I ever got to interview Kanye, I don't know if I should, I'll probably just say it anyway because it probably won't happen for a while, but my idea for interviewing Kanye, if it ever gets to happen, is I want to interview him, and he'd be in on it, but I want to interview him, and the whole shtick would be I have him confused for Adam West. Instead of Kanye West. So I'm asking him all these questions that like they make sense, like they're kind of vague, so I'll be like, you ever feel like you're dealing with a bunch of villains? You know what I mean? Is there anyone in your city who feels like
awesome
a real jokester?
Concept. Like, I think that'd be like an awesome thing. I feel like nowadays when celebrities get interviewed, they get interviewed
you
on a celebrity
you ever
pedestal.
Feel like you're dealing with people and they're really two-faced.
Yeah.
That
you know,
would be
it would be perfect. And
that would
and
be
I
dope.
They filmed the Batman stuff in Chicago too, so it would just be like
that would be it would be that. Awesome. Yeah.
That is
so
the best thing I've ever
now
heard,
if everybody
actually.
If anybody does that I can like come back to this and be like it was my idea for
yeah.
That is actually a great idea.
Yeah, so
see that but see I like I'm with you like I'll go on binges of watching an interview like I said my favorite
or he'll
interview,
send me stuff and be like watch this.
My favorite interviewer of all time is Howard Stern. I think he's just a master at balancing all the juvenile questions that we want to hear, you know, like who like when he's talking to celebrities, who have you banged?
Yeah.
You know, how much money you make? But also, he just relaxes everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, he's one of the few people who I don't care who he's interviewing. I'll listen to it regardless.
Yeah.
Because I just like his whole.
Yeah. And then that works, too, because that way you're even getting, like, because you like his interview so much, you're still getting introduced to other people.
Yeah.
And that just means
and
that
it's
he's
not
that.
Just watching the interview that I know the person.
Right. And I think that's important. Like, even, like, when Chelsea Lately first started, I was watching
She's
her show.
Down to me.
Yeah, she has. I was watching her show just strictly because I liked her interview style.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how quirky she was. I liked how, you know, she made you a little bit uncomfortable, but it opened her guests up a little bit no matter how tight they tried to be. Now it's just kind of like, okay.
Right.
Like, it
I
was.
I watched her interview with Sofia Vergara.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Sofia said something, and then Chelsea was like, well, that's just because you're a stupid bitch.
I mean, and she,
like. It's like, how's that even a question?
Yeah, like, she,
she's
some
funny,
of that stuff, she's dry. There's, some of her stuff gets lost in translation, I
no,
think.
No, I know, and I get that, but I just don't think her show is as
when
funny.
Lindsay Lohan co-hosted it, well,
she
hosted
was funny.
It, she was hilarious, though.
She was funny.
You know who, speaking of, one of my guilty pleasures is The View.
Yeah,
really?
Like the View is amazing.
I like the View.
The dynamic between all the girls, like, it's like.
And now they have Jenny McCarthy on The View.
Is what's her name, Hasselbeck, still on there?
No. Hasselbeck and Joy Behar left the show.
Bless her heart. She just tried so hard to make people feel like it was okay to be Republican. Like, she tried. She was like, just try to understand my perspective.
She was a little stupid.
Yeah, she had some moments. She definitely had some moments.
She had moments. But now they replaced her and Joy Behar with Jenny McCarthy.
Okay.
Who's from Singled Out back in the day.
So I guess I haven't watched it in a while. I need to go back and watch.
I mean, this was just like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
2-3 weeks ago. Okay. They just left the show. But I'm with you. I like The View.
The View,
but I don't like
good.
All the View copies. Like, there's like the talk.
Right.
There's like the chew or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they gave Tiny, T.I.'s wife,
really?
They have their show now. And it's like her, Trina. Oh, my God.
Interesting.
Yeah, but no.
I don't know about that one.
No.
I don't know, yeah.
It's one
that.
Of those things.
That.
I want to see the new Queen Latifah show, though, that she has now that's
There's
on daytime
new
TV.
Down for that.
And Jada Pinkett and them are producing it, actually.
Yeah, I watched one episode.
So I would like
Jennifer
to see
Hudson.
That. I don't know. I feel like everything is now the same. I feel like a lot of times with some of these celebrities, they get interviewed on a celebrity pedestal, and it's like they're afraid to go too far. Like, I want somebody to ask Chris Brown.
What about Kimmel? What about Kimmel interviewing Kanye the other?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No.
What did you not like about it?
I felt like it was just a continuation of the Zane Lowe interview, and he just was there mad.
I don't know. I thought it was good that he got stuff off his chest, but I still don't think Kimmel like really understands why that sketch was so offensive. Like, he
it was one of those things. It's like everybody likes to paint Kanye as crazy. It was like, y'all aren't listening to what this man is saying.
I do think, though, Kanye, as I love the BBC interview, and I did love the interview he did with Kimmel, and I loved everything he said. I loved the Lady Gaga comment about what does she know about taking pictures or whatever.
That was a true ass
statement,
though.
That was so
great.
Right.
I do think, however, he might have overreacted a tad about the Kimmel video.
I don't,
because it was made for people to laugh.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you're laughing at someone else's expense, so you can't tell me that I can't be offended about something that's about me.
That's not what he did, though. In my opinion, he wasn't like saying you can't be mad at that someone made the leather jogging pants or whatever. It was just. And when you take that one clip of the Kanye interview out of context without the rest of the interview, it's funny. You know what I mean? I brought the leather jogging pants to Fendi 5 years ago. That's such a ridiculous statement out of context.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's what Kimmel thought. This will be funny because he actually said this.
Right, but not even just with the words, with the entire skit and the way that it was set up. Yeah, it was just kind of like, I didn't like it.
Why did he have gray hair?
I don't know.
I didn't get that.
It rubbed me the wrong way because
I didn't like it when I saw it.
Like, from Kanye's perspective, I feel like, you look at like the prominent black creators of our generation, and then you look at the prominent white creators. The white dudes never have a problem getting taken seriously.
None.
That's never a thing. And then with Kanye, basically to me, and from his perspective, I'm sure that sketch was like, and because the Zane Lowe interview was very serious. For Kanye, it was super serious.
It was a very, very intense interview.
And so even though Kanye and Kimmel are friends or whatever, for Kimmel to do that, I can see where Kanye would be like...
And it's one of those things where...
How much respect do I have?
He's the butt of every joke, like, no matter what he does.
But then, you know, when they did the... Because that same night they aired the old clip that they did of the Josh Groban doing the best of Kanye West.
Which
tweets,
was funny.
Which was hilarious, right?
Yeah.
And even Ye was like, all right. So I guess I guess maybe he did feel some type of way about
the clip.
Because he does have a sense of
he
humor.
He does, yeah.
Even his tweets to Kimmel were really funny.
Yeah.
And you know, and he even said, you should have seen the next batch of tweets.
And that's just one of those things where it's like you can't. Like, the public doesn't get to pick and choose when somebody chooses to react. And we put celebrities on such a plane. Like, that's. Even like with Chris Brown, I know he's tired of being asked about whether he slapped the shit out of Rihanna or not. Stop asking the man that question.
But he did, right?
I mean, again, what is it happened already? Like, how many times are you going to ask to interview him to ask him the same question? If Chris Brown came in here, I'd be like, I know you're tired of being asked that question, so we're going to move on. Like,
apparently he just dropped a new record talking about Rihanna. I don't know if anyone cares about that.
That it was like an unreleased verse or something where he said that
everyone.
I mean,
interesting.
Come on. Like, go move on.
Yeah.
Move on. I just want everybody to move on.
I'm with you on that. I think Kanye is definitely like a misunderstood figure in the media. Because, I mean, It got to a point
he's
to
very
where
reminiscent of late Tupac. If you go back and watch Tupac interviews, and
well,
just
did he say I'm Pac?
At the end,
I'm
of
Pac.
Well, he said you probably ain't seen an interview like this since Pac.
Oh, I thought he said he was Pac.
But I mean, at the, oh, it, it kind of was like, even if you go like, because I really love Tupac interviews. Yeah. I think that he gave amazing interviews. And if you go back and watch them, they were consistent in that he never halted on what he had to say, and he never mm-hmm. halted on his stance. And mm-hmm. you either liked him or you hated him for it. But now celebrities gotten so to where they can't say what they want to say. They have to always be right. They don't ever get to react. They don't even yeah. get treated like people anymore. They're like up here, and it's like, okay, how are you mad that they're reacting? If it was you, you would have reacted. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't even you would not have been able to handle it that well. So why are you upset that they feel a certain way? They're allowed to feel a certain way. They don't mm-hmm. get to defend themselves, but you get to attack them all day. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
people don't understand that on a common sense level, like, okay, it was rude.
And yeah, and I think we've put Kanye on a pedestal of being a Yeezus, if you will, you know, being like this super
a demigod.
Celebrity. Yeah, but I mean, even but I know this is how I know Ye's still human. You know why? Because Kim Kardashian put up that selfie of her in the bikini, and Ye quoted it and said, "I'm heading home."
I mean, but what man in their right mind? If that's your girl, and I would have been like, "I'm going home too."
He's like,
"I'm going with you." And again, that's something that made press. Like people, you know, wrote entire blogs about that. Like, why is that blog worthy?
Because it's
Ye. I don't know.
That's one of those things that confuses me. It's like, why does that get to be an entire write-up? Kim K posted a picture.
Reaction to this.
Oh, what?
Like, I just don't get it. She looks good though. That baby did her good.
She does look really nice. So, Saman, what do you have coming up, man? What are you working on?
I just did like two cool things for OK Player. One was I got to go roll around with Hannibal Buress on the Dave Chappelle tour, which was really fun. And I came up with like this scheme because, you know, you never get rappers at stand-up shows. So I was like, I talked to Hannibal and Bun. I was like, yo, y'all got to do something.
Yeah.
Because that never happens. It'd be great for, you know, the video. And so we had Bun surprise the crowd in the Woodlands, which was really cool.
Yeah, that was a dope video, by
the
way, too.
Thank you very much. That was like, that was one of my favorite things I've done. And then I did a little thing in A3C for OK Player 2, so I'm hoping I get to do a couple more cool things for them because that's like one of my favorite websites. And I don't know. We'll just see from here. We'll see from here on out. Hopefully getting a gig. Hopefully moving back out to Los Angeles. That's where I want to go.
Well, that's where the movies are made.
That's my favorite place. I love that city so much.
So with you have gone, you went to film school. Mm-hmm. What's your overall thing that you want to achieve with that?
I mean, for sure, I want to make films. I want to make movies, but I want to do them right, and I want it to be like organic.
What particular genre?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of like broad to say it, but I feel like the first couple movies that I make will definitely be like in the indie vein. They'll be definitely independent, probably low budget. But
art type films, maybe.
What's up?
Like artsy kind of films, art films.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to get labeled as a hipster.
It's like everybody's trying to avoid that right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hipster craze has died down a little.
Yeah.
A little.
It was great. Like when I went to Brooklyn the last time, it was like...
ridiculous.
It's got to suck to be like an original like Brooklynite and just see all these hipsters moving.
Oh, it
that's got to be the worst
be
feeling. But yeah, so yeah, hopefully, you know, whatever I do, hopefully we get some cool names in it. I have some ideas, but I got to write some letters and mail them to some people, so we'll see.
Well, definitely. Where can people find your work and find you on social media and whatnot?
So my name's really hard to spell, but my Twitter is my name, and it's SamanAshrawy. That's my Twitter. That's my first and last name. And then, I tried to do like a little Facebook page.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like my friends told me I need to have a Facebook like fan page, so I made one. So if you find me on there, you can like me, I guess. And then
you can like me
if you want. I try to mess around with Tumblr. I don't really get it, but I have one.
I love Tumblr.
And then I have a YouTube. My YouTube channel is it's my first name Saman, S A M A A N, and then M A N Saman Man.
Saman Man.
Saman Man.
I don't know why. I came up with that in high school, so I don't know.
Just never got around to changing
it.
Just
never changed it.
So. You shouldn't change it.
YouTube.com/SamanMan.
Yeah.
And find him on Twitter, too. We appreciate you coming on the show,
Thank y'all so much. I appreciate it.
And we'll make sure, if y'all haven't seen the tribute to UGK or the Hannibal Buress and Bun video.
The quickest way to find that.
You definitely got to go watch all three of those videos because they're great, great. And the Hannibal Buress thing was just amazing.
Yeah.
So man, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all.
Take care, man. Tune in next week, everybody, to the first BG Show wrap-up show next week. We'll be back next week, all right, everybody? Thank you all for tuning in. Peace.